Welcome to the Collaborative Psychiatry Podcast, where we help busy primary care providers build confidence in managing mental health. I'm Dr. Daniel Suter, a psychiatrist trained in general and addiction psychiatry and currently working in collaborative and integrated care. I created this platform to make psychiatric education simple, practical, and genuinely useful for real-world medicine. Thanks to the support of our subscribers, this podcast remains completely free of commercial influence. Everything you hear reflects my own clinical experience and interpretation of the literature. No sponsorship or outside agendas. If you want to learn more about our mission, visit us at collaborative-psychiatry.org. We've got in-depth CME courses, clinical tools, and lots of other subscriber resources. These quick take episodes are designed to give you high-yield, evidence-based tools that you can start using right away in clinic. If you find this quick take helpful, please don't forget to subscribe or leave a review, and check out our website for downloadable clinical tools and resources that will help you put the information you learn here into practice with your patients. Let's get into it. Today, we're going to talk about a high-yield topic that comes up all the time in primary care, and that's how to switch antidepressants. But first, if you're looking for an even deeper dive on the ins and outs of managing depression and antidepressants in primary care, check out our full-length CME course on that topic, available now and linked to in the show notes or through our website. By the end of this episode, you'll have a practical framework for switching antidepressants in primary care. You'll learn when to consider switching, how to choose a new medication, and how to carry out that switch, whether it's a taper, a direct switch, or a cross taper. We'll also learn how to think about withdrawal risk, dose equivalency, and why certain strategies may work better in different clinical scenarios. The most common reason for a switch is that someone's been on a new antidepressant for a couple of months at a moderate dose, and there's been no real improvement in symptoms. It's a frustrating part of this work. You can't predict which med will work for whom. I'll talk more about pharmacogenetic testing in our depression course, but briefly, even with those tests, we may be able to minimize side effects, but we still can't actually predict response, and research hasn't yet shown any significant improvement in outcomes. That uncertainty is tough for providers and patients alike because the meds can feel like guesswork. But it's where we are right now, and knowing how to make a switch is essential. The other common scenario where you might want to perform a switch is if someone's been on a medication for years and it doesn't seem to be doing what it used to. We sometimes call this antidepressant burnout, quote-unquote, or tachyphylaxis. The reasons for it aren't fully clear and it doesn't happen to everyone, but the mechanism likely involves a degree of neuroadaptation along with medication tolerance. So if you are going to be switching, the first question is what do you switch to? Let's say somebody's been on Zoloft 150 milligrams for 2 months with no response despite good adherence. I generally recommend switching to a medication from another class first. So if they're on an SSRI, consider an SNRI, mirtazapine, or bupropion instead. That way you get a slightly different mechanism of action, which may yield better results for that individual patient. So if you decide on what to switch to, the next question is, of course, how to switch. And there are three main strategies here. The first is what I call the taper and switch, where we slowly discontinue the original medication before starting the new one. The second is a direct switch from the old medication one day to the new one the next day. And the third is a cross taper, where they taper off the original while titrating up the new one at the same time. Let's go through each of these. The taper and switch is the slowest and probably most conservative of approaches, but it also carries the highest risk of antidepressant withdrawal, especially with short half-life meds like paroxetine and venlafaxine. SNRIs tend to have higher withdrawal risk than SSRIs, which themselves have higher risk of withdrawal than bupropion or mirtazapine. Symptoms of antidepressant withdrawal can include dizziness, nausea, insomnia, irritability, brain zaps, flu-like symptoms, paresthesia, tinnitus. A whole host of weird things can happen. And to minimize the risk of these symptoms emerging, you'll want to taper slowly, probably over the scale of 2 to 6 weeks. And say if somebody's been on a medication for a few months, they can probably taper safely over 2 weeks, If it's been a few years, you may want to stretch it out to 6 or even more depending on their response. When it comes to all of these switches, I tend to think of things in terms of these loose dose equivalency ranges. So I break things up conceptually into low, medium, and high range doses, and really just ballparking here. So escitalopram, for example, 5 milligrams would be a low dose, 10 to 15 is a medium dose, 20 milligrams would be a high dose. For fluoxetine, you've got 20 milligrams low dose, 40 milligrams medium, 60 milligrams high, etc. If you check out the webpage for this episode, you'll find a list of all the antidepressants and approximately where they sit in terms of these dose ranges. So if someone's on a low dose medication and you're tapering, you might be able to stop it outright, right? You go from 5 milligrams of escitalopram to nothing, see how they do. If you wanted to be conservative, you could cut it in half for a week or two and then stop after that. From a medium dose range, you'll probably want to taper to a low dose for a few weeks and then stop it. And from a high dose range, you'll step it down to medium for a week or two and then low and then stop. Once they've discontinued the original med in this taper and switch approach, you've got two options. A, they can start the new med the next day and just titrate on up from there. Or B, they can wait. Maybe they want to take some time to see how they feel without meds on board. This can be, I think, a super valuable period to reassess the actual need for meds. And sometimes people with more mild or moderate symptoms will come off of antidepressants and actually feel better because of a resolution of a side effect that they weren't aware of or some other subtle change. The more we can allow people to have the chance to check in with themselves off meds, the better. On the flip side, of course, if someone is severely depressed, don't wait, start up that next antidepressant. Our next option here for switching is the direct switch. What we're doing here is just jumping directly from taking one medication one day to another medication the next. You'll still want to use the dose range equivalency concept here, generally transitioning to a similar or slightly lower dose range, just in case the new medication happens to be more effective for them at a lower dose range than the old one. So if they're on, say, 20 milligrams of escitalopram, which is the high range, we may aim for 100 to 150 milligrams of sertraline instead of 200. Or if we're switching to venlafaxine, maybe we aim for 150 milligrams instead of 225. Again, just in case there tends to be more response to a lower dose range with the new med than the old one. These are, again, not hard and fast rules here. We're really just ballparking everything. The main risks, I will say, with this approach are withdrawal symptoms from the old med and side effects from the new one, especially if you start too high. So this approach can feel a little rocky for the first week or two, but after that, it usually smooths out. Generally speaking, the closer the meds are pharmacologically, the smoother this will go. So switching from one SSRI to another tends to be easier than going from, say, an SSRI to bupropion, which is a different class and targets different neurotransmitters. I'll typically use this method if I have a patient who, for whatever reason, is going to have a hard time following a detailed taper and titration plan, or in someone who's frustrated with futzing around and just wants to get on a new medication quickly with the understanding that the first week might be bumpy. The third approach here is the cross taper. I use this about 80% of the time. It essentially combines a faster taper off the original med with a more rapid titration of the new one to quickly replace the old one while minimizing withdrawal risk from the old one. The end goal here, the target is again an approximately equivalent or slightly lower dose range of the new medication because we have a general sense of their antidepressant requirement. But we don't want to hit them with too much at once if they might have a response to a lower dose. So I'll typically do the cross taper over about 2 weeks, and my general approach would be as follows. If they're starting on a high dose of the original, like say 200 milligrams of sertraline, during the first week, I'll reduce it to a medium range dose, so say 100 milligrams, at the same time that I start the new one at a low dose. So maybe that's Cymbalta, 30 milligrams. On week 2, we drop the original to a low dose range, so 50 milligrams of sertraline, and increase the new one to a medium dose range, say 60 milligrams of Cymbalta. On the third week, they're discontinuing the old one, they're off of it now, and either continuing or further titrating the new one. As just another example here, right, if they're starting at a medium dose range, say 10 to 15 milligrams of escitalopram, week one would be taking it down to low dose, so 5 milligrams, while starting a low dose of the new med, say 150 milligrams of bupropion XL. On week two, they would stop the old med and bump the new one up to a medium range. So with our example, right, they'd stop the escitalopram and likely increase the bupropion up to 300 milligrams. If you want more examples of how to set this up, check out the webpage for this quick take. Some providers worry about serotonin syndrome when overlapping meds like this, but remember, someone already taking 200 milligrams of sertraline is likely tolerant to that degree of serotonergic load. So if now they're on 100 milligrams of sertraline and 30 milligrams of duloxetine, that's probably no more overall serotonergic load than what they're used to at baseline. And so that's why these overlaps usually are pretty well tolerated. Okay, so to sum it up, when it comes to switching antidepressants, the key is to know why you're switching, what you're switching to, and how to do it in a way that minimizes withdrawal and maximizes tolerability. Whether you're doing the taper and switch, the direct switch, or a cross taper, having a framework based on dose ranges and medication classes can be really helpful to guide the process. And while there's no single right answer, being thoughtful about timing, patient-specific factors, and side effect profiles can make these transitions smoother for both you and your patients. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to check out the downloadable companion resources for this episode available on our website at collaborative-psychiatry.org/quicktakes. For a small subscription fee that will help keep us up and running, you'll get access to detailed show notes, as well as an antidepressant switching flowchart, dose range equivalencies, cross taper examples, and a patient handout about switching antidepressants that comes with a table you can fill out to provide dosing instructions for any switch that comes up. If this episode made your work a little bit easier, please consider sharing it with a colleague or leaving a quick review on whatever podcast app you use most frequently. It really helps us reach more providers and spread this information more widely. And now our disclaimer. The content in this podcast is intended for general educational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine or the establishment of a professional relationship. The use of the information in this podcast in clinical practice is at your own discretion and risk. Thanks again for joining us today, and see you back here in 2 weeks. We'll be looking at two new antidepressants you've probably heard of but might not be using, vilazodone and vortioxetine. They've got unique mechanisms and surprisingly tolerable side effect profiles. I'll walk you through when and why to consider them.